This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance.
Prepare yourself, you know it's a must. Gonna have a friend in Jesus. So you know that when you die, he's gonna recommend you to the spirit in the sky. He's gonna recommend you to the spirit in the sky. That's where you're gonna go.
Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Markep program, Joe Markep.
We're on the air.
Hey, listen, Pastor Dave is good. He doesn't even trust me. He doesn't want to wave a finger at me or anything. He says, Joe, shut up and start. We're here on the air. Get to work.
That's because you were flapping your jaw.
Well, and that's exactly what he was saying.
I didn't say that.
He was trying to out-voice me. We were talking about Alan, our buddy Alan, who's our regular guest member of the team, who's not a member of the team, but he's the only one that's here all the time. In fact, I think you're here more than I am, Alan.
Not true.
Well, has Alan hosted the show yet?
If you include prayer and praise, yes.
Yes, it does come in. Anyway, Alan decided to go buy a car recently, and somehow or other, he managed to overpay for it. Mm. But he loves the car. It's a brand new Toyota, right? Gorgeous car.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, that's all that counts.
That's all that counts. And, you know, it's called, Alan was saying, wait a minute. I fell asleep, and they had me sign my name when I was sound asleep. And I said, Alan, were you really sound asleep? He said, well, you couldn't tell.
No, Joe, you mentioned, I've got to talk about it a bit, that when you're saying sound asleep, as many of you know, I have cerebral palsy. And when it came to signing the contract, I was there for over 6 hours. I asked to leave the dealership at about after 3 hours because I saw I was getting tired. And by the time I got the contract put in front of me, my body had shut down. All my body wanted to do was to get home and get some food in me and get some medicine in me.
No, I thought the only time he was like that was when he was on the air with us.
No. But
he was feisty last week.
The situation is that we're in the talking stage, so hopefully the dealership will take care and do what was right.
Well, it's not that he overpaid for the car, but he overpaid for the car.
Well,
anyway, go on to a more pleasant
plus.
Subject. Like, for instance, the Dow Jones Industrials made up most of the loss of yesterday, up 306 points today.
I'm surprised that did not affect the interest rates today.
But the interest rates stayed down. It's an interesting thing. it's, you know, if you could figure.
Actually, we had a rate reduction today.
Yeah, isn't that nice? Temporarily.
And usually it works the opposite way.
Jonathan, how are you, sir? Yeah, we're on the air. You want to come in and join us?
I just want to say hello.
Hello.
Jonathan says hello. He's you can't hear him from on the backside over there, so I'm paraphrasing.
Hello.
There we go. There we that go. Probably worked.
Maybe we should explain who Jonathan is.
Pastor Jonathan is the heir apparent to Pastor Tom. Is that the best way to phrase it?
Well, that's a good way of saying it.
That's what I figured. Well, we've been trying to get rid of Pastor Tom now for 2 years, and he just won't leave, but he finally... Now, hey, you know what? It's time. Tom has gone through more aggravation than probably all of us combined from a health standpoint and family members, and nothing but bad news. He wants to retire to his roots, but he's very responsible and wants to make sure WCNO is taken care of because this has been his baby for 25 years or so.
We're in our 29th year, so
long time.
That's the beginning.
Long time. Team Martech started back in '04 doing radio shows, and it was Joe Martech, financial advisor, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney, and the concept was simple. I have a whole bunch of clients here. Dan's got more than anybody. Greg Fasula wishes he had more than anybody. What happened was each one of us had areas of expertise that the other did not, and people would ask us questions, and in my not too humble opinion, if you're a credible professional, you align yourself with other credible professionals in order to help your clients. If I refer somebody to Mike, I don't want that person coming back to me and saying, hey, Mike's a thief. So this word credible and integrity is a monster word for us. Mm-hmm. So Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, joined our group about 3 years ago, right?
Three, five,
something
like that. It feels like 100.
It does. You know, when I think that we started doing these things in 04, and we had no idea we were going to be doing them for 2 weeks.
That's right.
Let alone, here it is, 14 years later. Mm. So the group has grown from the original three to Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. Mike became very critical because during the height of this recession, there was all kinds of words out there that were not true, called about fake news. There was no mortgage money available. Uh-huh.
I just don't think they were knowledgeable about the whole subject. I think they just heard a lot of rumors, and the rumors spread. And like you had to put down 20% down on a house, and that's not true.
That was never true.
That was never true.
Well, are you saying the media doesn't know what they're talking about sometimes?
Well, I think the media...
I like you sound like an attorney now.
I learned from Greg.
From Greg, right?
Well... The problem is a lot of these news folks are in a different income category than most of us.
Yeah, right.
So when they're talking about housing, they're probably talking about the upper end housing, the high priced housing. Now,
the high price means over $700,000 or $800,000.
Well, technically, a jumbo loan is considered anything over $452,000. So a jumbo loan is a different animal, and. A couple of years ago, you had to put down 20% down on the jumbo. So they may have been referring to that type of financing, not to the type of financing that most of America gets. Because we've always had 5% down. Even FHA is 3.5% down.
VA has always been no money down.
Yeah, 100% financing.
USDA has always been around. That's no money down.
Correct.
I mean, there's all kinds of different programs out there. In fact, one of my buds is a retired executive or higher up government employee with USDA, and he was touting there's 100,000 people working in the USDA. Can you imagine that?
Yeah,
but it's what they do for the farmer more. It's not just one area. Is the mortgage
now thing. How many people even know that there's a mortgage program that they back?
Well, and that he was like he knew very well about it. Mm-hmm. but like you said, until you came along and told us, I mean here I've been around for 475 years. Seems like it anyway.
Yeah. You look it.
Right. Look it. Thank you. I resemble that. Alan and I run a neck and neck for the oldest looking guy here, right?
Correct.
There you go. Correct. That was an easy categorical one.
I'm free.
Well, you're second, though.
I'm second.
Well, actually third, because Alan and I have to take the first two spots.
Yeah.
What I'd like to do, Mike, is ask you a question about one area that a lot of people are interested in, reverse mortgage. I'd like to give you a scenario and have you walk me through it. Let's say mama lives in a house that's valued at $200,000, mm-hmm. and she has one heir that not living with her, a daughter. That's, say, 45 years old.
And how old's Mama?
Mama is, say, 68, just to, as an example. So she decides to have a reverse mortgage. When she dies, there's $40,000 owed on the house. So when Mama dies, obviously the daughter is too young to have a reverse mortgage at that point. So does it automatically become a conventional mortgage for the daughter?
No. She would have to get her own mortgage. Usually what they'll do is they'll refinance the house, get their own mortgage, and it doesn't have to be conventional. It could be an FHA. It could be any type of financing.
Or she could sell it.
Or she can borrow it from her family and pay this loan off. There's no requirement that you get a mortgage to replace this, but that's typically what most people do.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, literally, if his house is worth $200,000 and she owes $40,000-some, she easily could sell it and make $150,000 worth of profit if she wanted to. But if she wanted to move in it, it'd be pretty simple, unless she had the worst credit in the whole world, because that's less than a 50% mortgage.
Correct. So. Now, nowadays, even though there's a tremendous amount of equity in the property, you still have to be able to make the payments. You have to be able to qualify. And you have to qualify with your credit and your income. So it depends. They may or may not be able to get a mortgage at that point in time. But the worst case scenario is the heir sells the property, pays off the mortgage, and takes the cash and does whatever they want to do.
Profit does whatever. Yeah. In fact, I had was talking to somebody up in Tennessee, and I had talked to you about that. And I was talking about buying a piece of property in Tennessee with a reverse mortgage, which you can do.
Sure.
This particular couple... quote, and how many times have you heard this, Mike? Well, I thought the bank took it when you died.
Yeah.
how many times have you heard that?
That's a big misconception in the market right now. And most folks say, well, I want to leave it to their heirs. Well, you can still leave it to your heirs.
Yeah.
Because typically, on average, when you go to get a reverse mortgage, we're probably only going to advance about 50% of the property's value.
Right.
So the idea here is for the property never to be upside down.
Right.
Because the concept of a reverse mortgage is, okay, the property's worth $100,000. We're lending you $50,000. But if the property grows at 4% appreciation a year,
right,
that appreciation's going to outweigh the interest that's accumulating on the loan.
So just as a quick example, let's use 5% interest and 5% growth. $100,000. Plus $5,000, it means a house 1 year later is worth $105,000.
Correct.
If you got a $50,000 loan at 5%, that's $2,500. So instead of owing $50,000, you owe $52,500, which means you actually gain $2,500 in equity.
Yeah, even though you have a mortgage with a negative amortization loan.
Which means you didn't make a payment. But the whole concept, and you and I, Mike, and Alan, I tell you what, we have seen... I can't tell you how warm it makes my heart to see some people that have gotten reverse mortgages that have changed their life dramatically. My biggest one was up in Fort Pierce, was a retired lady who had lived in her house for most of her whole life and never had air conditioning, and she was 80-some years old.
In Florida.
In Florida. And I will tell you, you would not believe the look on that woman's face when that AC was installed.
Right.
I mean, and she never had to make a payment. But for the first time in her life, she lived. I mean, can you imagine living here in Florida?
I'm 54 years old, and I cannot live without air conditioning. Imagine being 80. And
imagine you can do it. But, you know, I knew people that years ago, they didn't have AC, and they were old, and they would run water into the tub, and they would literally go crawl into the tub to cool off.
That's an indoor swimming pool.
Indoor swimming pool. You know, of course, they didn't have a pool, but the bottom line was they just got wet in order to stay cool. Now, this is a lot of work, in and out, right? Running around wet all the time. And if we all know, there are months where if it gets below 80 at night, it's not till 7 in the morning.
That's true.
You know, so it just stays hot. Anyway, reverse mortgages, Alan, can work magnificently for people. The negative, when people talk about it, there's no such thing as anything for free. You've got to pay to get this reverse mortgage, and because it's a government program, the government sets the rules, and they make it a little bit more expensive because they counsel, they do all kinds of stuff that you wouldn't normally have to go through getting a regular mortgage.
Right.
But if you took a $100,000 reverse mortgage as compared, compared to 100,000 conventional. What is it, 1,000 or 2,000 more?
Now, the one of the downsides, like when you come into my office and you talk about a mortgage, I'll tell you the pros and the cons.
Right.
There are some cons with a reverse mortgage. One of the cons is the closing costs are quite expensive. And the reason for that is you may start at a $100,000 loan, but you may end up, when you pass on, as a $200,000 loan.
Right.
So we have to pay all the doc stamps, all the intangible tax, all the closing costs based on that potential for the increase. So you're actually paying closing costs on $200,000, not $100,000. So it does tend to be expensive. It tends to be about 30% more in closing costs than a standard mortgage.
So if your closing costs, let's say, were $5,000, 30% more would be another $1,500.
Correct.
Okay, so it's not that onerous.
No.
It's just that it's a bit more because of the nature of the product.
Correct.
Yeah. This is a toll-free number.
It is.
And our illustrious producer and our illustrious retired prosecuting attorney guest did not remind me one time yet to give out the number.
Because you two were so eloquent on reverse mortgages.
Really?
Pastor Dave and I felt very strongly we weren't going to interrupt you.
I don't even know how to spell eloquent.
Maybe we're explaining it so well that our listeners don't have questions.
888-221-8990.
Toll free.
That's 8888 2-1-8-9-9-0.
Meaning, write that number down and keep it next to your phone. Now, we really don't speak much Spanish. In fact, I think that's the limit of it right there.
For me, yes.
You know, I'm cerveza por favor en baño.
Well, that's all you need.
I know. That's it, right?
That's right. I pulled my sign out now, so.
Phone. That's very good. Anyway, class, write this number down. This is toll-free from any place. 888-221-8990. And if you have a cell phone, you don't have to dial one. If you're dialing from your house phone, you have to dial one first.
Since we don't have any questions from our listeners, I do have one for you.
Great. I'm excited.
I do have a customer.
Yes.
Who wishes to liquidate their federal thrift program, their retirement program, to use for their down payment. Now, I suggest that.
How old are they?
They are young.
Under
they retired. 59. Yeah, retired early.
Okay.
So this would be a taxable event for them.
Right.
Is that their best option? Is there any way to transfer those funds into another retirement account in which you can borrow against?
401k.
Can they start a 401k? Can they transfer from a thrift savings plan?
You're supposed to be working to have a 401k?
Yes.
Are they working?
They will be working.
See, the problem of rolling over this thrift program, which is a government program,
mm-hmm.
right? You have to then roll it into another similar type of program.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that, you have to go to work for a company that will allow you to roll it into that.
But you cannot borrow against, say, an IRA.
You cannot borrow against an individual retirement account, but you can borrow against a 401k or a 403b that are company or employer-sponsored programs.
Gotcha.
Now, when you borrow, you have an X amount of time to pay it back,
mm-hmm.
and they will charge you an amount of interest, but it's insignificant because you get to use the money and not pay tax on it, as long as you pay it back mm-hmm. within that prescribed period of time. Now, if Vince was here, I think it's 5 years or 10 years, and I can't remember exactly, but there's a period of time mm-hmm. you have to pay it back. If you don't pay it back in that prescribed period of time, it becomes a taxable event.
Mm-hmm. Now, in her particular situation, they told her that she can only do 2 withdrawals from this program, period. So what I suggested
is... Is she working for them now?
No, she's retired.
So she no longer works for them?
Correct.
And they told her that she could only make two
withdrawals. And I don't know whether it's 2 withdrawals total before she's 72.
Wouldn't make any sense.
Okay.
Here's what happened. It's her money.
Right.
If it's vested...
Mm-hmm.
It's her money. There may be a portion of the money that is not subject to tax. You know, when you contribute money into some of these programs, and let me tell you, folks, this gets difficult. This is where I start earning my keep. When somebody says they've got such a thing, I get on the phone with I call it the golden rule. He who has the gold rules.
Mm-hmm.
So I call up the ruler and say, you've got this gold. how do we get this money out of you without paying tax? And they say, can't do that. And I said, well, help me a little bit. Did you contribute the employer into this? Yes. And did the your employee contribute? Yes. Was any part of that money not taxed, or was any part of it taxed?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's just say they had a Roth. You know,
right. Well, that's a different animal. You can withdraw without being taxed at that.
But our government 401, or there are 401k Roth programs. I mean, there's all kinds of different. Once you know the rules, mm-hmm. but when somebody says you can't have your own money, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
They might say maybe they're allowing them to take a certain portion out that is not subject to tax. Now, that's possible. Money can sometimes goes into these things that is after tax.
Well, what I suggested for her to do was to take, because she wanted to put down a considerably large down payment, mm-hmm. Probably to the tune of about 40 to 45%.
Wow.
What I suggested, so she doesn't get heavily taxed this year,
right?
Maybe take 20% out, use that for the down payment, take another 20% out
next
if she
year.
Wants to do that next year.
Right.
So it breaks it up and she's not as heavily taxed.
Well, the key thing that happens, what she's trying to do is have a lower payment, but the reality is this, if you did the math, and if you can make 5% on the money, and in the meantime, you're paying 5%, it's a wash.
Correct.
So why would you take all that money out and pay tax on it at all if you could avoid it?
But right.
She now has to sit down with a calculator,
mm-hmm.
and do the thing. And I sometimes sit down with people and we write this out. You know, like, not everybody's good at math, and I'm not really good either. But the key thing, if you lay it left side, right side, mm-hmm. side by side, and it makes sense, then people don't necessarily need to create a big taxable event.
Yes. Well, and she's getting probably 4% return on that investment right now. So what I suggest that she do is, because that, if she took out, just say, $50,000,
right,
use that for the 20% down payment plus the closing costs, then the remaining $50,000 that she was going to take out, she can continue to take her 4% return on that.
Yeah, yeah.
No save problem. Herself probably 20% tax. Worth of taxes.
That's $10,000 in tax. You and know that, how long it would take to make that make sense?
Exactly.
You and don't live long enough.
And that $50,000 would probably only amount to about $200 on her monthly payment.
Well, if she's got $50,000 making 4%, that's $2,000 a year. It's almost a wash.
Correct.
So the principal and interest part would pretty much be a wash.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's listening today, and I told her I would ask you.
Okay. Well, the reality is this, and if Mike was good with numbers, because guys in a mortgage business, they don't have to use numbers. This is sarcasm, folks, if you didn't notice that. You sit down and do the numbers, write them down, just like we're talking now, left side and right side, and do an equation and say, what's in your best interest? Understand you don't want to have a payment. But on the other hand, if you have a $1,000 payment, but you're making $800 in interest, you have a $200 payment,
mm-hmm.
because you're gaining on the other side. So you've got to kind of put the blinders on and get into some logic. Like, some people think it's a smart idea to have a mortgage so they have a tax deduction. Well, not everybody's in a 39% tax bracket, mm-hmm. but sometimes it makes sense, but very often it doesn't.
Well, she just recently retired, so her income has significantly gone down.
Right.
So
right.
She's probably getting pension income of about $20,000, $25,000 a year.
Okay.
So her tax burden this year is probably going to be very low. So it does make sense to take some money out this year.
Well, she can probably have $15,000 and have no tax at all. She could take $15,000 out
right.
on top of her retirement.
And mm-hmm.
Is she married?
No.
Okay. So back again. Here comes the CPA or an accountant that has to say, look at how much money can I make this year? Passive income. This is not earned income.
Mm-hmm.
Passive means it's investment income. Because
and because it's in a retirement, it's tax deferred.
So far.
Yes.
But as soon as she takes it out,
correct.
Now she's going to pay. But there, you don't pay what we call payroll taxes. No Social Security, no Medicare. It's only ordinary income tax.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the ordinary income tax, what do we have this year? $20,000 up front you don't pay tax on, or $25,000? I don't understand.
Plus, we have a bigger deduction, a personal deduction.
I mean, it's the whole thing is she might be able to put $30,000, $35,000 a year in her pocket and pay no tax. And mm-hmm. I don't know, but here comes where the accountant comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do this equation in writing, one is how much do I earn, how much do I pay, quote, how much do I have to donate to the government, and how little can I donate to the government. Mm-hmm. When you put those three pieces together, it's going to make a better decision.
Right. But if she does liquidate this, she's talking about liquidating $100,000, and that would be taxable.
Oof. And that's a big chunk.
Yes.
I don't care what you do. If she's got 25 plus 100, 25 worth of income in her retirement account, which is normally all subject to tax, then she's got another 100 all subject to tax. Well, what a bite that would be. That's at least 30 grand, I would guess, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. So that's what I figured. If you put less of a down payment on the house, your payments would be more. But if you do the math, it would probably take 15 years to justify doing that.
Yeah. And the other side of the coin, if she has this thrift savings plan, she could, the thrift savings plan often is a state of Florida plan is what I've heard. It's a government employee type thing. But very often you're allowed to roll that out and put it into a retirement account, your own. And that's a tax-free exchange. I mean, you move from point A to point B, and as long as you don't put it in your pocket, there's no tax. Well, if you earn 5% on that money, stay conservative. If you had $100,000, that's $5,000. $50,000 is $2,500. Just back again to doing the math. And as you take money out of that retirement account, if you take it out at $200 a month rather than $20,000 or $50,000 at a time, you may have no tax at all. Ad infinitum.
Yeah, as long as you stay under that threshold.
Stay under the threshold. Yep. So once you need to know, you need to know that equation, what the threshold is, and we don't have Vince here, so we can't pick on him. We could pick on him because he's not here. But anyway, if you're listening, the whole thing is you got three separate columns. We helped you with the two, and then if you call in next week when Vince is here, we'll get him on the spot, or Mike can call him and find out what her taxable consequence would be and get back to her.
Mm-hmm.
Sound good?
Yes.
1-888. I saw that. I saw that flash. I had my peripheral vision saw the flash card say, use the phone number.
Someone's flashing you.
888-221. You know, this is not a pretty picture. Pastor Dave's pretty old. 888-221-8990. What happens when we look at our group, what we try to do for people is wear your hat as hard and tight as we can. How can we accomplish your goal and avoid tax as much as humanly possible?
Right. Well, this is what the team is all about.
Yeah.
When I have a question that I can't answer, I will ask you or I'll ask Vince or I'll ask.
Yeah. So that brings the other members in, which I didn't mention. We've been talking about Vince, but he's not here today. And he didn't call and say he's not coming either. Wait till I pick on him.
You gave him the day off.
I guess. Vince Rizzino, CPA, and also a forensic CPA, which means he's recognized by the court system as an expert witness. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Boy, I got to tell you what that man has been able to do for me personally, you personally, you personally, you personally, no, plus clients. He's just excellent.
He saved another transaction for me today.
There you go. Yep.
I'm financing a manufactured home for a customer, and it's an older unit. And she just called around, could not get insurance anywhere. So I just referred him to Dan, and Dan was able to help.
See, that's what happens. When you're in my, back to not too humble opinion again, you're the premier independent insurance agent. How does that happen? Well, one, he's been in business almost 40 years. Right here. Let me take this call and then keep me in line.
Yes, sir.
We're going to go back to Dan now when I'm done. You got
to
remember
back
this?
Back to Dan.
This is the clue. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, I'm...
I have a question.
Go right ahead.
I'm on disability, and my house is just paid for. It's worth about $230,000, and I was wondering if I should sell it and buy a cheaper house for $100,000 and take the rest of the money and invest it.
Okay, now here comes... You got to be a little bit careful here. You say you're on disability. How old are you?
I'm 55.
55, right? Now, you're on Social Security disability?
Yes.
Okay. One of the things that you need to do is call the Social Security Administration, and they might help you with it over the phone, and tell them exactly why you're on disability. They'll tell you if you're on SSI. There's different types.
I'm on SSD.
SSD, okay. And you would talk to them about SSD. Sometimes, if you have outside income, this can be a negative because they say you don't need SSD if you have outside income. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, right now they're forcing me to go back to work part-time.
Uh-huh. That's not good. Social Security disability. and they're forcing you to go back to work part-time. What's the story on that?
It's going against what my doctor says. It happened to me when I was in my 30s.
So what they're saying is you're capable of working now is what they're saying, so you're going to supplement your SSD. So now the next question is, and I'd be glad to help you with that anytime, you call Social Security Administration and say, listen, I'm getting my SSD, I'm getting $1,500, $2,000 a month, whatever the number is, but I have to go back to work because my doctor said this and I'm allowed to still make X number of dollars and keep my SSDD. But if I have other income, where's my income cap? In other words, if I was making $1 million a year on the side, can I keep my SSDD? The answer is no. At some point, there's a cutoff. So you need to find out what that is. The reason I'm saying that, if you sold your house for $230,000 and you put $100,000 into a new house, now you've got $130,000, and say you made 5% on that, that's $6,500 a year. That may put you over the limit in order to keep your SSDD. You need to know the equation. And there may be no equation, but you need to find that out first before you make that next decision. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. So, and let me tell you, you don't have to be shy about this. They're there to help you, and they will help you. They don't care about specifics. The Social Security office up here in Port St. Lucie is excellent to people I've talked to, and I've gone in with clients of mine because they were scared, but they are really good people, and they'll work with you to make sure you do the right thing. And I'm sure they do that in all of them now. My experiences have been very, very good with Social Security Administration.
Okay, thank you.
Call them first, and if you have any aggravation after you call them, you call back, and we'll help you.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
God bless you.
You know, have you seen that, Mike, before?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, sometimes you have to requalify for Social Security. I've seen that.
I have a young man down in the Keys who, I mean, he is disabled. He's in a wheelchair, and he's on disability. He inherited money. All of a sudden, he's got extra income. And they cut him off. Social Security cut him off.
Wow.
Just like that. Bam.
So how would you avoid something like that? Can you get that
income? I give the money to you, and I trust you.
could you put that into some kind of retirement account where it's not benefiting you?
No. Can't be in your name. So what you do, you give it to Alan over here because he's an attorney. You know he can trust him.
Well, I would trust Alan.
What I'm trying to say is,
but although he doesn't make good car choices.
What? He doesn't make good car choices, but he's good at other stuff.
Trust me to do what?
I know.
Mean, that's the important question.
Right. Well, the key I'm trying to say is, if the rules say you cannot see part of Social Security disability, you cannot have money for what they're giving you money for.
But can you have assets?
Okay, you can have assets, but you can't have money. I'll give you another example. I had a young lady that had a car accident, and she got $50,000. She could not have it because if she took that money, she could not use it for food, shelter, clothing, or transportation, because that's what they say the SSI or SSDD or whatever it was for. Well, I said, well, what can she use the money for? And he said, for fun.
Let's say
I said, so you can go gambling in Vegas and spend the money, and that's okay. Yes.
But how can you prove that?
Well, the problem they've got is, on your tax return, you're going to show your income for the year. Where did you get income? And if you have investment income, it's going to get a 1099. The government gets a copy of that. You know, the computer system today is pretty strong.
But if you have money in a retirement account that doesn't reflect income on your tax return, that's acceptable.
Yes. Point is, but you need to know, and when I say yes, my thing with everybody is, don't listen to what I'm saying. Get a hold of Social Security. If you're on any disability, find out exactly what your rules are for you specifically. Because there might be 8 or 10 different categories, and I don't know them all. But hey, and even if I did, I still wouldn't trust me because they may change it while I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
So you need...
It's always best to call and double check.
Go straight to the horse's mouth and find out what the rules are, and then you can make a more intelligent decision. 1-888-221-8990. Have you ever heard of that before, Dave? If you got SSDD or if you have Social Security disability, you cannot have other income.
Well, I was thinking I was aware of that, but yep. I don't know the details.
Well, that's what I'm trying. And I have run into this on a few occasions. One, they suggested set up a special needs trust. Now, a special needs trust is now monitored by somebody, reported to the government, and basically when the person dies that's on this special needs trust, the money goes to the government to pay them back for the money they paid you in SSDD or SSI. So, I mean, it's a catch-22. It's not a good system. You need to know the rules. Once you know the rules, then you can make some intelligent decisions.
But if you obtained income through a non-taxable source, maybe like an insurance settlement, because that's not a taxable source,
well, okay,
that wouldn't be on your tax return for as income.
Point is, once you, if you put the money in cash under your pillow, there's no record, right? But if you put it in the bank, there's a record. So much for that, Mike. But now, how many people take 50 grand and stick it under the pillow?
But if you put that into a bank account, it still wouldn't reflect on your tax return.
Yes, it would, because you're going to collect interest on that.
If you have an instrument that's getting interest, and today, and if even if you put it in the bank, you're not really getting any interest.
Well, but I still think the government, the bank, reports any money in the bank to the infernal. So I think it's a catch-22. Hey, don't listen to what Mike and I are saying. What you need to do is to go straight to the Social Security Administration. If you get money, you need to ask that question. What if my mother leaves me 50 grand? Okay, and I now start taking $1,000 a month out of that. Oh, okay, you can't do that. We're going to cut off your SSDD or SSI. Okay, what if I just take the interest off of that? Okay, we'll just lower your SSDD by the amount of interest you get.
I mean, well, I'm not saying not, you know, to hide this money. I'm just saying, if it doesn't appear on a tax return,
there you go.
Then now, how would they even
if it
know?
Doesn't
unless you purposely volunteered that information.
Well, guess what? Back under the pillow, buried in the garage. Forget the garage. Backyard.
Joe. Well,
yeah.
I'd like to ask you a question about something we haven't talked about for a few weeks. REITs, real estate investment trust.
Right.
Now with interest rates starting to rise,
right?
Somebody who wants a fairly safe income type investment, would this be a good time to start nibbling in that market?
Well, it could be a reverse. Let's say you buy you a real estate investment trust. Let's just talk about that. Real estate, right?
Yeah.
So a company goes out and it has 100 rental properties, all apartment projects, okay? And in those apartment projects, they are now owned by this real estate investment trust. And the trust, by definition, is supposed to pay out 90% of its profits every year, but they usually pay them out on a three-month increments. Now, in the meantime, the real estate company has mortgages on all of these rental properties, do they not?
Right.
Now, rents go up. Okay, that makes the company happy. But also, interest rates go up. That makes the company unhappy. So sometimes you offset. If the economy is good and rents are going up, the REIT can be good. And if interest rates go up, it's a wash. But on the other hand, if rents don't go up and interest rates go up, the value of the REIT can go down.
The REITs typically have mortgages on their properties?
Yes and no. Don't you like that answer? The answer is sometimes yes, some no. Some leverage, some don't.
So you might want to do some undercover work.
What point I'm saying to say it, when answering Alan's question, yes, there are REITs that are user-friendly, that are more suitable in a rising interest environment.
It could be said, too, that higher interest rates would also devalue the real estate asset.
Well, there you go. So that happens. Now, on the other hand, right now, like the rental market's hotter than a pistol, but you know, every time the rental market's hotter, they do a study that says we need 3,000 new rental units. So they go out and build 30,000. Then we have a glut. Have you seen these over the years where this thing?
Oh, yeah.
It's very difficult to know the exact answer. One of the things that I lean heavily on are things that are traded. You're asking about a real estate investment trust. Some are not traded. You buy it, you own it. If you want to sell it, you got to find somebody to buy it. Sometimes they're willing to buy it back from you at a discount. But if it's publicly traded, it trades on the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ, just like a share of stock. and you can buy it today, sell it tomorrow, like anything else. So I stay away from ones that are not traded, because very often people might forget that they can't get out of it. I mean, I had a client of mine that had a 7% guaranteed income real estate investment trust, and all of a sudden they were paying 6, then 5, then 4, and they wanted to sell it. Well, guess what? Nobody wanted to buy it because it was going backwards.
Yeah. And if there's not a market for it, it's very difficult to find a taker for it.
But if it's publicly traded, it's always got an instant value where it can be traded on a stock exchange. So
you would never recommend something that is illiquid, because if you can't get out of it, or you can't really determine its fair value, you don't want to be in something like
that. Honestly, I never get you in trouble. I have never used a non-traded REIT for any client. I always want traded. Sometimes the traded, non-traded REITs may pay a higher commission. Usually the traded ones pay no commission, and the people have to pay me themselves. So it's more open. But there are other types of REITs that are mortgage REITs. Well, if it's a fixed mortgage REIT, this is not good. But if it's adjustable, it can be very good. Because as interest rates go up, they readjust up. And most of these are commercial and even residential. If people are into adjustable rate mortgages, and that's a REIT, the company that's holding them, they flow right with it. It's not really a problem. Anyway, it's a difficult, not easy question, Alan, when it comes to these things. What I have to look at as a person and say, hey, what are you looking to accomplish, and what's your time horizon? Back again, how many times do we say that? How much time do you have, and what do you want to collect?
I've got on average on a REIT, what is the going return on?
Well, most of the ones I'm dealing with are paying a 10-12% return, which is excellent. And they pay every 3 months, and it's great. Now, I've got clients that are retired that need that kind of income. They need it in order to subsist. If I was talking to somebody that's 20 or 30, I wouldn't talk to them about it.
Well, if you have your money in bonds and you're hoping to retire someday,
you're in trouble.
Yeah. And then if you put your money into that, you can retire with half of the money, half of the assets.
See, if you're getting a bond that pays 3 or 4% as opposed to 10%, it's a bit of a problem. Tax-free bonds, if you can get 3, you're really lucky. Now, not everybody needs tax-free, but if you got $10 million you're sitting on and you can get 3% tax-free, that's $300,000 a year. Or $3 million, whatever it is, it's a big number, but not many people are sitting on $10 million. Mm. So the average person, say they got $100,000, $200,000, or $300,000, or $400,000. If you had $400,000 at 10%, that's 40 grand a year, all right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that comes in handy. So you gotta do the math.
But what are the risks involved?
Well, back again, the ones that I deal with are 100% liquid. We can sell them anytime. But the fact that it's another company, I don't care what the risk is. I mean, General Motors went out of business. Enron went out of business. Mm-hmm. I mean, start naming companies that were really solid. General Electric, look at their stock has gone from, I mean, unbelievably solid, biggest company, and all of a sudden they're terrible. Mm-hmm. So no matter what you do, there is risk unless you go to the bank and just get your 1% or 2%.
But you could spread it around into different types of investments, because you have mentioned these exchange-traded debts.
Yeah.
So if you can put some money in some REITs and exchange-traded debts and just average out your yield.
There you go. So what happens is, if you can, say, get 5 or 6% using debt instruments that are run by utilities, which I really like utilities, because if utilities are gone, I'm trading my vegetables for yours, and you better grow no okra and no...
Yeah, cash isn't worth
cash isn't money. Worth anything when everything is gone. Armageddon came, and God said, wait a minute, you thought you were leaving, you're not. You have to stay. So all it amounts to is, when you look at what you want to accomplish, that becomes number one question. What are we trying to accomplish? Then the words Alan uses is risk tolerance. How much risk are you willing to take? Then you have to measure and say, how risky is this? Then the last thing is it liquid? Meaning, can I get out of it? Can I sell it? And I have said this 1,000 times to people. I don't want to deal in anything that we can't get out of. I want to make sure that it's liquid at all times. Look, like oil. Look what's happened to oil. You know, the price of oil stocks was down to nothing. Now it's climbing like crazy. How long is that going to last? Who knows?
Until they make a lot more of it.
Until, yeah. And they're the Saudis are meeting and they're deciding how they're going to get even with us by charging more money for oil.
Well, as the oil prices go up, then of course the production's going to go up.
Normal stuff. 1-888-221-8990, which leads me into, Alan, insured investments, which quite honestly has become a monster thing with me. Last year, I had clients that were making 19-20%. The S&P 500, the NASDAQ 100 was hovering right around 20%. And they were happy as a clam. But if you're in an insured investment, what the insurance company does is say, hey, we're going to put two wrinkles on this. We're going to say we're going to have a death benefit that in case you die on a wrong day, your family is protected. And if you don't die, we're going to protect you with guaranteed income. We'll talk about that in a minute. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, sir. I have a question. And I don't know if you can help me, but I heard you talking about some of these things last week.
Okay.
I have a fiance, and he was married to his ex-wife for about 30 years. So, you know, naturally a lot of things she is entitled to than I am. However, he's stating that before he marries again, he would need to, like, see a mediator or a lawyer just to have her sign some kind of an agreement that she could not go after anything that's ours together, like we have a house together.
Didn't he get divorced?
Yes, he did.
Did he get a divorce decree?
Yes.
Then that divorce decree states exactly what she's entitled to.
Okay. So she couldn't be entitled to anything that belongs to me.
Well, I'm not an attorney, but let me just tell you this.
Okay.
In the state of Florida, one, you're not responsible for the debts of anybody but yourself unless you sign for them. If I was a partner with Mike Paulus across here and we had an agreement in writing that stated what would happen in case one of us dies or in case I don't like him anymore, whatever's in writing is in concrete. So she has no right to anything that's yours forever. If she has a right to his Social Security or his pension or any of his assets, that's in the divorce decree. So what happens is... What I would do is if to find the divorce decree, one, it should be hopefully not that hard to read, but if he had an attorney... when he got divorced, he could go back to that attorney and just ask him the same questions you're asking and make sure that that divorce decree protects your protected period. But if you buy a house and you put it in both your names and in the divorce decree it says whenever he owns a house, it's hers, you don't put it in his name. You understand what I'm saying?
I see. Okay.
So you
might... That was his concern, that she might want to go after something that belongs to me or something that he left me.
But
like I'm his beneficiary now and stuff.
Point is, all it depends on is what's in the divorce decree. Alan, you're an attorney.
Right.
Am I right?
You're right. A couple of things. That the divorce decree is basically going to lay out any right that he might have to Social Security. Any right to pensions, things like that. If the divorce decree doesn't say anything about it, he has no right to those. Also, anything that you've brought into your new marriage when you get married, he has no right
she
to.
She has.
Or rather, she. I'm having trouble with my pronouns today. She has no right to.
Actually, neither does your husband.
Right.
If you own a house and you guys get married, you don't need to put him on the deed. It's your house.
Right. Here's one other thing. If you are having any difficulty finding the divorce decree for your fiance's prior divorce, all you have to do is contact the clerk of circuit court.
Wherever he got
the
divorce. Yeah.
Where the divorce took place. They, by law, have the divorce decree on file. Depending on the county, in Milwaukee County, for instance, where I'm from, it was $10, and they'll send the divorce decree to you or anybody you want. So it's easy to get. Okay.
Yeah, it's nothing to it, and it'd be a smart thing to do, period. It would put both of you at rest once you know what's in it.
Right. Now, she's already getting his pension, and we know she's entitled to his Social Security.
Well, guess what?
You know, he already knows that.
Okay. But normally, any assets, unless I've never seen it, but any assets that are accumulated after the divorce decree, normally the divorced spouse has no right to, unless it says for the next 10 years, which I've never seen. But I just can't imagine that, you know, and a lot of guys, what's the old story? My divorce cost a lot, but it was worth it. And then after the fact, they say, well, boy, was I stupid. I wasn't paying attention, but that's too late.
The long and short of it, though, is you know, a divorce decree is a negotiation between the ex-spouses. Right. So anything can be negotiated in that.
And once it's final, if you wanted to change it, and it can be changed, but you both have to agree. He and her have to. Oh, yeah. But I doubt I doubt she'd give up anything. She'd have to get something to give up. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, right. Oh, absolutely, she won't. But he was just concerned that maybe he needed to make an agreement with her now, stating that should something happen to him, she wouldn't go after, you know, anything that belonged to us together or to me.
Well, let me just tell you.
And last week, I know you said that anything, like if you put somebody as a beneficiary, like in a 401k, that superseded a will.
Oh, no doubt about it. Your 401k has named beneficiaries, your IRAs have named beneficiaries, your life insurance contract have names, your annuity contracts have names, and you can do that in a bank account with what's called a TOD, transfer on death agreement. Everything in the world pretty much can have these guarantees, so there's not, the courts don't get involved and nobody else can get it. The exception, the exception would become income properties. They are subject to a will and or a trust, and if you guys buy some property that you do rental properties, and you have both of your names on it, and it says joint tenants with rights of survivorship or husband and wife, he dies, it's yours, you die, it's his. That's an agreement. You just have to look at the divorce decree to make sure that he didn't give away everything in the world he might make until he's 100 years old.
Okay.
The language matters. In other words, this would be a crazy divorce decree, but if the divorce decree would say something like, if you would get remarried, that when your husband acquires property with you, that your ex-husband gets a 25% interest.
I mean,
things like that would never happen.
I mean,
you can't anticipate the future. So I think, yes, your pension Social Security, maybe something if you had a unique type of investment program or something, but that will continue to have value. I've seen divorce decrees where authors of writings, royalty payments are split between the spouses no matter what happens after the divorce.
The key thing, and Alan said it, get a hold, if you don't have it at home, just get a hold of the court, the county clerk, wherever, whatever we got clerk. The divorce, and they'll give you a copy of the decree, and then that'll tell you where you stand.
Okay, yeah, because everything sounds good, except for the fact, you know, we were wondering about the house that we would have. That was it, because everything else, you know, he has a beneficiary for, and you said now he can make a TOD with his bank.
Yeah.
So she couldn't take the money that was in the bank.
Nope.
So it's just the house. Okay.
And even the house, if it's in your name, nobody can take it except you or whoever you leave it to.
Yeah, especially if you have a mortgage on it, because a mortgage company would research things like that.
Yeah.
We couldn't let anything supersede our mortgage.
No kidding.
And if the house was homesteaded too, that would be
certainly be protected.
All it amounts to is the divorce decree is going to tell you what it is, and no matter what she says or does, makes no difference except that divorce decree.
Okay.
Good luck. If you have any problems, you call us back. We'll help you. You know that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
We got 3 minutes left.
Joe, 3 minutes. If you don't mind, I'd like to spend a couple of minutes just going over Monday a little bit, because Monday was Memorial Day, and it's a great time on WCNO to remember the people that served this country and are serving this country. We are blessed in this country to have the people in the military that we do. And I know our listeners in the WCNO family feel very strongly about our men and women in uniform, and also our police and fire people and first responders.
And listen, we are blessed to be living in America. And then doubly, triply blessed that we don't have to live in Wisconsin. I'm from Michigan originally, and if I never see that again, it's too soon. Now, you still have a affinity towards Philadelphia because you're like your sports teams.
Just the sports teams.
Yeah.
They all did very well this year.
Last year was a big Philly year. Yes. Big.
It's coming up next week. The Phillies will play the Milwaukee Brewers in a series.
I will pay attention there.
1-888-221-8990. We're running out of time, but you can call that number anytime and talk to Pastor Dave, Pastor Tom, Jonathan, and they'll take your name and number, and we'll get back to you, and we'll help you any way we can. Now remember, we got Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, Joe Martek, financial advisor, Greg Fasula, attorney, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, and last but not least is Vince Rosino, CPA. And we have special guest forever and ever, Alan. Even though he overpays for cars, he's still a nice guy.
Well, thank you very much.
How much time do we have left, Chief? Oh, 1 minute. You know, you got to see with Dave, he found these cards. You know, he forgot how to talk. Once he found a card, he shows them up.
I'm not even. I would say I the cards express it better than I can with my voice.
You got
that. Into what you're saying.
You have a very charismatic voice.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, of course, not quite that nice, but I'm being nice to you today. Hey, folks, listen, we want to thank you very much for the calls. Thank you for listening. And anybody that needs our help, that's what we're here for. And until next week.
You got 30 seconds.
We got 30. Well, okay, I got to keep talking for 30 seconds.
Yes, sir.
Alan.
Yes.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. Ladies and gentlemen, in all seriousness, if you have any questions, when we're off the air, just call the station at any time, and the information will be passed to the team, and they will call you back. Just leave your name, phone number, and the team member that is appropriate will call you back. And even have a great week. And thank you all.
And even if we have one that's not appropriate, we'll call you back anyway. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Yeah. God bless.
Never been a sinner, I never sin. I got a friend in Jesus. So you know that when I die, He's gonna set me up the spirit in the sky. Oh, set me up.
You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-678-7725.
Abound. are faithful to release your spirit now.
And we are hungry.